Welcome to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer in Sandpoint, and I own a gym called The Shed. It's on Michigan Street, and I train people online, too. And I'm here with Jill Kahn, and Jill is a marriage and family therapist, and she practices in Sandpoint, and she also works with clients all over the country. But each month, we come together and talk about ideas and topics on mental health, relationships, and fitness. Now, today is pretty timely, because we're going to be talking about tips to cope with political differences in your relationship. This is always a good one. I think we kind of touched on it the last election. It's a good thing to figure out if you're dealing with that in your families. And we're also going to talk about five things couples who stay married do every day. And then I just started running and working out again. We had the wedding. So how to start exercising again when it's been a while, like summer.
I love it. Well, so how was the wedding, Jen?
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievably beautiful, and we lucked out with the weather.
Yes.
It was, I think, 80 degrees, and we're on the lake, and I brought early that morning, I brought all the flowers that I have had in the garden and placed them in all our other perennial beds because the deer, of course, have taken over. But it looked beautiful, and we had a mobile bar. Cassandra, who used to own 41 South, has that along with her consulting business. And then we also had one of our friends come over from Montana, and he smokes meats.
Oh, yum.
So we had meat, vegetarian options, mac and cheese. It was just really comfortable. We threw down blankets on the grass, and so everyone could sit either in a chair or in Adirondack or on these blankets like the festival and watch the ceremony.
Oh, fun.
And then we kept those out and people just visited. And of course, we danced and our poor neighbors probably hate us. But it was a day.
Oh, it sounds like it was wonderful.
Yeah. How are you?
Well, same day. We had the baby shower. Wow. So my daughter's baby shower, and it was wonderful. And it was interesting. I had a couple people comment about how wonderful it was to have the blending of age groups. Mm. So we had a group of my daughter's friends and then my group of friends, many of whom have raised Cammy. Two of them were her child care providers when she was young, and other people who've been instrumental in her life. So it was a really nice blending of cultures. And there was a lot of interaction and communication. Yeah. So it was a great day.
Yeah.
So we
beautiful
had a
day.
Wonderful time. And then my really good friend and her husband came right up after. So it's been a time of friends and family and connection, which of course is my primary value. So I have been feeling very full with all of that. And in preparation for my surgery tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. So I get my last orthopedic surgery.
She is officially bionic.
Yes. 4 out of 4 will be after tomorrow, and then going to recover.
And do you have the surgery locally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shiker is great.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. He did my last tip. I'm really happy. I feel really fortunate to do that.
And what's the recovery time usually?
You know, my last knee, I recover quickly because of the exercise, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You go in strong.
It's so much easier. Mm-hmm. And so I have my first PT appointment the day after the surgery, and then I'll start doing all of that. But historically, I've only needed a walker for maybe a couple of days, and then I shift to a cane and just start going.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
we like to move.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we've both been busy. Let's get back. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll start our discussion on how to cope with political differences in your relationships.
Yes, we will jump into that.
You're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio, and I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, and I own a local gym called The Shed. I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and she practices in Sandpoint. And today, we're going to be talking about how to cope with political differences in your relationship. I know I have this in my relationship. We've figured it out, but it's pretty common.
It is. It's relatively common. And while we're talking about this specifically with your primary relationship, these principles definitely apply to friends and family as well.
Okay.
Because we are living in a time that's incredibly politically charged. And we oftentimes see the other people as bad.
Yeah.
But we all need to remember that for the other people, we're the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that we have this understanding of how do we manage all that.
What I find really interesting is I don't remember politics being a big deal when I was growing up. Like, we weren't actually supposed to talk about it.
Yes. I think that was encouraged, that it was a good thing to have political differences.
Yeah.
But it is. It's very different these days. It's mm-hmm. it's way more divisive than it used to be. I don't remember it being so extreme.
Right.
So being in relationship with someone who has different political views doesn't necessarily mean that that relationship is destined for failure.
Right.
And so while you may not agree on everything, you certainly can learn to navigate those differences. So here are some tips to help you cope with the differences for the sake of this relationship. So first of all, avoid the charged issues. So political differences in relationships can lead to unhappiness when there's intense conflict surrounding these differences. You may have to avoid certain charged issues to keep your relationship happy. For instance, it's probably best to avoid the topic if you strongly support a new policy, but your partner does not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a key issue is right to life and abortion, right?
Yeah.
That is one that it's unlikely that the person you're having a conversation with is going to change their opinion on that topic.
Right.
It's pretty, I think, determined. So having that discussion will oftentimes only lead to hurt feelings, and especially an issue like that where it's so emotionally connected.
For sure.
Everybody has lots of feelings about it. So relationships work best when partners share similar goals, visions, and worldviews. Yeah, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
One area where agreement is helpful is politics.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
Right.
So it can lead to disagreements and tension, but finding ways to deal with it is what we really need to think about and focus on instead. So this is the biggest one, and you and I touched upon this a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find common ground.
Right.
I think that's so important.
Well, and I think it's there.
Yes,
you know,
it
absolutely
is
there. It's just taking a calm conversation to ask questions, and then you're going to discover that common ground.
And for me, the connecting place is almost always family.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone values family.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can use that as a link,
right,
instead of looking at all of the more specific things that we may view differently,
mm-hmm.
that's helpful. So discuss your overall values and ideology when you both feel up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may find areas of agreement or some issues which one of you has a more middle-of-the-road approach. So this will allow you to remember that you're not as different as you thought.
Right.
3, remember the core values that brought you together. So even amid all these political differences, you do share some core values or you wouldn't be in a relationship.
Right.
For instance, you're both set on having 2 children, or you have similar viewpoints regarding work and finances.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the circumstances are, when you're in the midst of conflict over political differences, you have to remember that this is just one piece of the larger context.
Right.
Yeah? Place the disagreement into that overall relationship, and you likely have numerous commonalities that attracted you to each other in the first place. 4, this one's super important.
Yeah.
Disagree with respect. Conflict and disagreement are just part of relationships. We know that. And it's not a bad thing. It actually is helpful to be able to talk about conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But you can treat your partner respectfully despite those political differences.
Mm-hmm.
When you're having a conversation and your partner makes a point that you do not necessarily agree with, you must resist the urge to attack them or respond negatively.
Yeah, and that includes eye rolling.
Yes, there are all sorts of nonverbal contempt messages,
right,
which are problematic, right? So slow down. Take time to truly listen to what the other person is saying, because so often in these disagreements, you're just thinking of what your counterpoint or defense is going to be, right?
Right. Yeah, so, and if you're combating it and talking, continuing to talk while they're talking, it just gets more and more heated.
Yeah.
And you're not really listening.
You're not really listening.
Right.
You're thinking about what your...
Yeah, your agenda.
Yes. So if you find yourself becoming heated, you need to pause before you react. And then take a couple of breaths and take time to choose how to respond mindfully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So slowing it down. So rather than things like, and this happens a lot, name calling, telling them they're wrong or becoming defensive, you might say something like, I hear you, but I'm in a different place with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I see things.
Yeah.
So
that's a great way of doing it.
Much more conciliatory.
Mm-hmm.
This is really important to me in all aspects. Approach your partner with curiosity. Yeah. Often when we're involved in a political disagreement, we approach the other person from a defensive stance. Rather than listening to their viewpoint, we attempt to defend our own.
Mm-hmm.
So letting go of the defensive, just be curious. Ask questions about their stance and really try to intentionally understand it.
And that doesn't necessarily mean you're asking for the facts, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where people kind of get
ticked. I mean, who's right and who's wrong?
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
Where'd you read that?
Yeah.
Or where'd you, tell me where that is. You know,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
That's attacking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And instead, I think really understanding emotionally, why is that important to this person?
Mm-hmm.
How do they feel about this? Yeah. Number six, listen without interruption.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. Huge. So another issue that arises in couples with different political views is the tendency to talk over each other especially during political
mm-hmm.
discussions. But a lot of couples do that all the time,
right?
Constantly interrupting and talking over. In this scenario, each person becomes so fixated on getting their point across that, again, they're not hearing the other person. So if you really feel like you need to discuss these views, agree that each person will get a chance to talk without any interruptions from the other.
Yeah.
Yes. And afterward, the listener must summarize what they heard.
That's good.
That really slows it down, right?
Well, I think that's really good because a lot of times I feel like you're expressing yourself and the other person is still so caught up in their belief that they're not really even hearing what's coming out of your
mouth. Yes.
They're hearing what they want to believe you feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's a wonderful strategy, is to go back and say, so what I heard you say was... Yeah. So, and oftentimes,
how would you say it to your partner so it doesn't sound like, so what did I say?
Well, yes. Yeah.
How do you
tell me what you heard me say?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What did you hear me say? Just curious.
Okay.
So again, really, really slow and curiosity, mm-hmm. but the listener should take it on to say, okay, so I want to make sure I understood.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I heard. Is that
so you
right?
You kind of have rules going into these discussions.
Yes.
Like, this is how this we should talk.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes. And always helpful when somebody shares a feeling or even a thought about this, that there is that expressing back,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate? Did I get it right?
Right, okay.
That clarification. So then change roles and the other person speaks. That gives each person a chance to have a chance mm-hmm. to express, and the other person will have their partner's undivided attention.
Yeah.
Seven, again, really good one. Know when it's time to take a break.
Yes.
Yeah. This is always true, but especially because political stuff is so charged.
Yeah.
So politically divided couples can sometimes become quite heated with each other during the conversation. So in order to mitigate this, it's helpful to monitor your reaction to a conversation so you know when it's time to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you notice that you're beginning to raise your voice or growing hot with anger, you're likely flooded.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to take at least 20 minutes to calm down so that you don't end up saying something hurtful that you can't take back.
Right.
So that whole flooding concept we've talked about
right.
before, it's so crucial that you can feel that fight or flight
sure.
response. And that when it happens, you just say to yourself, okay, this isn't safe to keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
We need to calm down before mm-hmm. we continue. And there has to be that willingness for the other person to give you space to take a break.
Yeah. And so when you take that break, this is saying 20 minutes, but you come back. There is a discussion. Like,
well,
it not necessarily even has to be political. You don't have to go back to the debate, right?
No, but you want to repair.
Yes.
Yes. So I know for me, if we've had dinner guests over where somebody was saying something that mm-hmm. I just could feel myself getting flooded, and I said, I'm just going to go upstairs and breathe for a bit.
Yeah.
So taking my time and then coming back and not necessarily going back to the topic,
right.
but just reconnecting.
Like a reset.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Let's mm-hmm. take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
And when we come back, we'll continue this great topic. You're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio, and I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and she practices in Sandpoint. And we're talking right now about how to maneuver through political debates with your in relationships.
With your loved ones.
Yeah. And this includes relatives.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Friends and relatives or partners. Okay. So the next one is keep an open mind. So different opinions and relationships aren't necessarily bad. They allow you to expand your worldview. And I have a couple where this is very much the case. He came in very much as a much more on the right and she on the left. And that their willingness to be able to talk together really allowed them to grow.
Sure.
Yeah. When people with different opinions argue over politics, typically each person is often convinced that their viewpoint is right.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, no one has all the right answers. And we all benefit from expanding our horizons. So rather than shutting out your partner's political views, keeping an open mind. Mm. Consider what you might learn from them. And oftentimes that may motivate you to be more tolerant or open-minded. So very helpful to come into it with that willingness to maybe be influenced. So number 9, accept that life isn't black and white. The problem with politics and relationships is that when two people have different opinions, they think the world's black and white. Mm-hmm. It's your way or my way.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the world this way, you can quickly develop a polarized view of politics in which your opinion is entirely correct and your partner's is entirely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of taking that black and white approach, which can place you at the opposite end of the spectrum from your partner, accept that there may be a gray area in the middle.
Yeah. That's what we're missing, actually, in politics, I feel.
Yes.
You know, I always felt like there were more moderate politicians.
Yes.
In the mix.
Yes.
Not necessarily winning, but there were, it's so
polarized.
Yeah, it's just, to have a conversation when you're kind of in the one side or the other. I mean, trying to find I understand why it's black and white, because we don't really have anything to go, oh, this is gray.
Yes. and you know, to be able to say, like, you know, one of the ways that I oftentimes will talk about that is, well, of course, I care about fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is important.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I do care about education. Yeah. So being able to say, yes, there is a value in some of this side.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's merit in this as well.
So you're kind of bringing it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That's finding the gray area.
Yeah.
So how do we manage political differences?
Yeah.
When they arise in a relationship, there are some steps you can take. Your particular strategy will depend on the needs and preferences of you and the people you care about, as well as the intensity
sure.
of your differences.
Yeah.
For example, if you only have minor differences, you can work these out by agreeing to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really
exactly
good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we can agree to disagree. Or by trying to find areas of common ground, like you said. Yeah?
Yeah.
On the other hand, if the differences are extreme, you may need to seek outside support or consider whether the relationship is one you'd like to consider.
Mm.
So that seems kind of extreme, but I have seen couples where it became so divisive.
It's so interesting to me that that's become such a big role in the relationship.
Yes, and I think, unfortunately, it's so much identified with the specific personalities. Like, I don't know if I can be with you if you think that person is the right person,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to sort of looking at what are the issues here,
right.
and what are your values, and how does that show up for us?
Yeah.
So, first of all, try to come to an agreement with your partner.
The first step in managing political difference is to discuss with your partner to agree on how you will address these differences. Mm-hmm. Some people just avoid talking about politics or charged issues entirely, mm-hmm. which is perfectly valid.
Yeah.
Just say, we're not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. On the other hand, you might decide that each of you will commit to opening your minds to considering the other's point of view. Mm-hmm. In this case, you can sit down and have a discussion in which each person has a chance to be heard. And that's with that active listening that we talked about. It's helpful to set the ground rules for discussion, such as what are the boundaries for showing respect and what can be done, like taking a time out if the discussion becomes too heated.
Right.
So having specific protocols for how to manage
Like, there are some days where I'm fine having a discussion.
Yes.
You know, but there are other days like that have been, I'm tired or draining and it's not something I really want to talk. I mean, not even thinking we're going to disagree, but politics, that is exhausting to me.
It's exhausting. I agree.
So having some kind of way, you know, hopefully you can figure out a way to communicate. Because I know, like, well, my husband will be in the shop and he'll be listening to the radio. And that's, you know, he's going to hear stuff. He doesn't have someone to talk to.
Yes.
So he wants to talk to someone. He doesn't want to fight about it, but he wants to talk about it. So it is hard, but having those ground rules or just being able to say, hey, I understand this is something you want to talk about, but I can't right now.
Yeah. It's just too much.
It's too much.
Yeah. It's too exhausting. Mm-hmm. That's really good to be able to say, this is how I need to take care of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's good. And sometimes you have to ask whether the relationship is worth continuing, unfortunately.
That's sad.
So it's not unheard of because in some cases, the differences are just too significant to overcome. For example, if you identify with a certain religion or cultural group and your significant other insists upon limiting rights for this group, the relationship may be untenable.
Yeah.
Differences of opinion or ideological differences can be worked through if both partners respect the other and are willing to open their minds to a different point of view. On the other hand, when one partner uses political beliefs to shame or belittle the other, agreeing to separate ways may be the best option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to, is if it becomes disrespectful or the other person feels demeaned or in some way belittled, that's problematic. Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel connected to someone when you feel disrespected. If you've tried to work out political differences, but it seems your partner does not respect you or maintains views that are discriminatory to you or people you care about, cutting ties may be the right choice. You shouldn't remain in a relationship where you feel continuously disrespected and unheard. Mm-hmm. So can a relationship last if you have different political views? These couples who are politically divided may be more likely to experience relationship dissatisfaction because of disagreements and tension related to differences of opinion. Given this, those with similar political views tend to get along better. Mm-hmm. It's just easier.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting watching even in my own relationship. We were on different sides of the spectrum when we first met. And there would be times when we would really, it's mm-hmm. like, ooh, this is hard. And sometimes I had to say, I can't talk about this with you right now. Yeah. And as there was more of a coming together and we ended up being both, I think, on the same end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. it's just become so much easier.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had a partner in my life that I have agreed with. I don't know. But I'm all over the spectrum.
Yes.
Like with what I believe. I'm all over the place. I'm a small business owner. Of course I'm going to have, you know, more conservative views on money and all
finances.
That. But then I'm also, you know, a woman.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm all over the place. But yeah, honestly, I don't think. So I guess I've had all these. I'm 58. I've had a lot of years of working through this.
Yes. You have your experience.
How do I do this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you're really kind of the expert with this.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I think if you can look at what you're hearing with even family and just ask questions, and try to discover where they're coming from, it's almost
it's really interesting. Yeah. You don't have to agree.
Right.
But it's just like, where did that, why is this a belief?
And well, and I think that's what happened with us, is that I think my husband was with a group of people that had a certain set of beliefs. And I think once I started communicating what my beliefs are, and more importantly, why it was so important to me from, an emotional standpoint, he had more compassion.
Sure.
And a better understanding. Yeah.
Right.
So,
and through life too. I mean, I know.
Yes.
I've changed also as I've grown older. And then you've grown old together.
Yes.
So I can see that.
Yeah. Over a period of 35 years. I mean, just kind of navigating with children and the friends of our children, people we've been with. And it's, I think, made us both much more tolerant
sure.
of diversity. Mm-hmm. However, different political views don't necessarily need to lead to a breakup. If you and your partner have different opinions, okay, are willing to work through them. So sometimes people in a relationship have differences in political views, but they otherwise agree on major issues like religion or parenting or lifestyle. In this case, you use your similarities to help you overcome any differences in political ideology. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you may do that in your relationships, mm-hmm. is that you focus on those areas of commonalities.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and even in the gym, you know, I have clients who believe all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's really important to, and it's kind of a community and a healing place. So if they need to express themselves, they need to.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, finding all that is fascinating.
On the other hand, if political differences are extreme, or one partner uses their political views to exploit, dominate, or shame the relationship likely won't last. For a relationship to work, differences in opinion must be handled with respect and curiosity rather than used to attack the other person or make them feel inferior. Mm-hmm. And in all cases, relationships require work. And couplers with similar values and beliefs occasionally disagree because no two people are alike, exactly. But most importantly, relationships flourish when people can work through their differences respectfully.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, let's find out what couples are doing to stay married. There's 5 specific things they do every day. All right, you're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio, and I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer and a local gym owner. My gym's called The Shed, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn. She practices in Sandpoint, and we've been talking relationships. So now, you know, we did the politics thing.
Yes.
And how to maneuver through that. But there are 5 things that couples who stay married do every day. So let's hear it.
Yeah. And I think you can really compensate for political differences by mm-hmm. doing these things, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of this is based on John Gottman's research. And this first one is one of his signature things, which is the 6-second kiss.
Okay.
So this is very simple, but it's easy to get away from when you're in a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, kissing drops off after that initial period yeah. of limerence
sure.
is what they call it. Yeah. But research shows that kissing frequency is linked to relationship satisfaction.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Gottman talks about a 6-minute kiss. And when you do that, things in the brain begin to change.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think 6 seconds is a really long time.
Yeah.
But even if you, I think we've talked about this before, instead of just doing a peck, mm-hmm. it's a mindful kiss.
Yes.
And it may take 2 or 3 seconds yeah. or 4 seconds.
That makes more sense. I mean, then the other way is like, okay.
Well, are we counting it out? How present are we?
Exactly. Yeah.
But
a meaningful kiss,
yes,
I like. Yes.
I think a meaningful and very present kiss
yes.
really, really changes. And, you know, think about how did you kiss when you were in the beginning of your relationship?
Right.
So that's what I want you to return to, is that sense of attention and being fully present during the mm-hmm. kiss. So the second thing is, know at least one important thing about your partner's day before parting in the morning. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's important to talk to each other before you leave.
Right.
And then to take an interest in your partner's work, in the friends and family. I mean, we have this conversation every morning.
Yeah.
Tell me about your day.
Yeah.
What's going on? You know, what are you doing? What's your schedule?
Yeah. I do that right in the evening before bed. What's your day looking like tomorrow? Or, you know, we kind of reflect on how the day was. And then from that, what's tomorrow looking like? And then because my brain remembers certain things, that is what I remember. So then I can talk about it in the morning.
Yeah.
And that, I think it's easy to do and important to do.
It is, because it shows that you're interested mm-hmm. in your partner, that you care about what's going on in their lives. And it's a very, I think, bonding conversation to have, what's going on with your day, and then coming back to at the end.
Yeah. And do you check in during the day? Because I check in, you know, maybe we always do like a 9 or 10 a.m. check in. How are you doing? How's your day?
Well, normally I go work out and then I come back and we check in.
Okay.
And then if I've gone for the afternoon, then we check in when I get back. But we rarely go the whole day without having
interaction.
I love that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we both really like it best when we have that little period of time, say between 10 and noon, where we can just kind of hang out, take the dogs for a walk or whatever. Yeah. So let your partner know that you're supporting them when they're giving their next pitch to their boss, right? Maybe you practice it together. Be excited when your partner tells you that they're having lunch with some friends they haven't seen for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You want your partner to feel that you're on their side.
Right.
And that you care about what's going on in their life.
Yeah, for sure.
They matter. Yeah? 3, think fondly of your partner when you're not with them. So I loved this thing that my husband used to say. I think about how much I love you all the time. I just forget to tell you. But you need to tell me.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he does.
Oh, good.
I love it. He's really gotten better about that. Yeah. And here's the thing. When we're away from our partner, it's unfortunately in this culture now, easy to think of all the things your partner hasn't done.
Sure.
Or what you don't like at them. Or what irritated you. And even if you don't say it to your partner, it sets the tone for the relationship, mm-hmm. right? So if you've been perseverating about all the things that bugged you,
mm-hmm.
you come across as having an attitude.
Sure.
You've got an edge.
Yeah.
So instead, think of how wonderful that parting kiss was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think of when they helped out around the house without you having to ask. So you really want to focus on what's right in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
what you love about your partner, mm-hmm. instead of what's wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's very helpful is, if you can, if you have a fond thought about your partner, is to tell them.
Yeah? Absolutely.
So that's the next one. Communicate your fondness and appreciation. So tell your partner how much you appreciate things about them, and also communicate your fondness mm-hmm. for them. So this is one of the basic principles in Gottman. So rather than saying I love you mm-hmm. when you're walking out the door or hanging up the phone, express your fondness when you spontaneously feel it. Yeah? So if you have these thoughts in the middle of the day, maybe you call them up and say, I was just thinking about how much I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah? Or if you're, I love it. We were walking into Costco and my husband said, I just really love you. And
oh,
I said,
that's nice.
Really? Why? He said, I just like hanging out with you.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's a very different.
Well, that's like with Jeff, we were sitting after recovering from all the wedding stuff and all the family that was here for the week following. And he just said, I'm really looking forward to just spending time with
you. Yes. Yes.
And
that's something that we oftentimes say. We love having our friends and family around, but there's this like, we get to be alone together, just you and me,
right.
Yeah? And that's important that you communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
So tell them what you appreciate about them. Tell them you're looking forward to being with them, after friends have gone or even after a long day of work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I can't wait to get home and just be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to let your partner know how much you appreciate that that they listened.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you needed to vent or share your feelings, right?
Nothing
more important than feeling like your partner really wants to hear when you're in distress. And the last one, which I just love, and we do this, plan a weekly date.
Yeah.
So research indicates that having weekly dates is significantly important for maintaining a healthy relationship. So it promotes better communication, increased satisfaction,
stronger commitment, and higher overall relationship quality.
Yeah.
So we know that.
Yeah. We've gotten back now that everything's past us. We actually made reservations at a new restaurant in Bayview and went on a date on Saturday night by boat.
Nice.
And it was awesome.
How is the new restaurant?
It's amazing. It's an Italian restaurant and Tervana, probably pronouncing it incorrectly, but it was great.
Yeah.
And it's, you do need to make reservations if you want to sit inside at a
okay.
table, but no
nice
TVs.
To know. I love it. I love
indoor
that.
And outdoor seating. Seating's a restricted menu for outside, but they have wonderful like pizzas and pasta dishes and everything. It's
cool.
Yeah, so we're thrilled. Because
I bet it's close.
We've needed something.
Yes.
But yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, they talk about the 2-2-2, right? A date every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. an overnight every 2 months, and a vacation every 2 years, but I do 2 vacations a year. Yeah, that's
you've
me.
You've like checked the boxes.
Yeah. But I really think we've now moved to, since we don't have children in the house, the weekly date. And when we miss it, we both say, oh, we missed yeah. our, yeah. So you can go out to a restaurant, which is kind of the no-brainer, but you can also go for a hike. You can watch a game, ideally not one on the television, but right. one that you go to, uh-huh. or have an adventure. So I think I've talked before about the Adventure Challenge series, and they give you scripts for adventures.
Oh, neat.
And that's a wonderful tool if you want to do something different and creative in your relationship. It gives you specific adventures that you can do for a date. The other thing that is important when you do these dates is to talk about your relationship. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. And then listen with interest and attention.
You're not scrolling.
And I just, this is what I have. Put away your electronic devices. So the other night we went out to try the new restaurant in Hope.
Uh-huh.
And I brought my list of questions.
Oh, nice.
And the waitress said, are you asking him those questions? And I said, yeah, I am. She said, really? I said, well, I am a marriage and family therapist. And I have my couples do this. And
sure.
we like doing it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex will oftentimes say, hey, why didn't you bring the questions tonight? I really like them.
Oh, that's great.
And it does allow us to have this deeper way of communicating
well,
with
each
other.
Well, and I bet it's a great way, if you haven't been doing it, to kind of get, it's like a kickstart.
Yes. It does help, because a lot of couples say, gosh, if we were to go out on a date, we don't know what we'd say to each other. And I'd say, well, I'll send you some questions. And it does. It mm-hmm. does make it much easier to move back into that space if you've kind of,
well, and it brings you more together at that table
yes.
with all the other things going on.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like it.
Yes. So when you have that date every week, you're prioritizing your relationship. And it really does, as we know, bring you together and bond you.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Happy dates.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to finish up with how to exercise again after summer. Holy cow. What a summer. But I just started, and I wanted to, I thought, well, I'm not the only one going through this.
Yes.
You know, it's time to get back on track. But how do you do it without wrecking yourselves? Or how do you do it to motivate yourself? So anyway, I think the best thing is you make a plan. Like, what do I want to do? How many days a week? And not overachieve. Like, 2 days a week of workouts is plenty to start back, especially
yes.
if you haven't been doing anything.
Yes.
You know, so do that. Once you got the 2 days a week, then you can increase it. But I wouldn't do more than 6 days a week. I mean, you need to rest. Set doable goals. Award yourself, you know, like set a goal for a week or 2 weeks and give yourself rewards. Like if you accomplish those workouts, I like to get a new workout outfit personally.
Good call.
Or shoes. But something like that. Maybe you get a latte or treat yourself. Start out. Also, if you haven't been doing anything, there's nothing wrong with doing body weight exercises.
Yes.
We don't need to start getting the heavy weights and throwing them over your heads. Just start with bands and work on your form.
Yeah.
Once you start weights, go lighter, more reps. And then get into your routine of the heavier lifts, if that's your thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not. So think about that. Continue to work on your cardio with cycling, walking, running, but remember, just ease into it. I personally would avoid the high intensity stuff if you
yes.
haven't been doing anything.
Or you end up like me with lots of joint replacements.
Exactly. I'm not a fan. I'll do it on a bike, but that's really where it ends.
Yes.
But I know people love it. But if you haven't been exercising, don't start there.
Yeah.
Schedule rest. Prepare your body for what it's about to do, and I think you'll be fine. But pick outfits, pick out your fitness program that are activities you like. Roller skating would be one.
I think doing what you love makes it much better, and looking cute while you do it.
Okay. All right. This has been Functional Health Radio.